Oh, we are back, baby. Today we're talking Titans schedule, which came out last Thursday, and the advantages, the hidden advantages buried in this year's Tennessee Titans schedule, plus a slew of other news that we missed. Excited to be back. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey and a newly married man. Joining me as always, the managing editor of Titan Sized, the publisher of NFL Draft on SI, the yada yada king, my co-host Justin Mello. How's it going, Justin?
I can't believe you haven't done that intro in over a week, and that was one take, ladies and gentlemen. There was no outtakes there for the intro. That is incredible. It is engraved in his brain, and now he's got a wedding ring. Like, this is a new and improved Justin Graver, same old Tennessee Titans podcast. Look at that thing. It's beautiful. Thank you, Gary Soto, for all your contributions. No, all kidding aside, I'm excited to be back. Took a week and a half off. I won't lie to you. It was good for me too. Nice little mental break. I was finishing work a lot earlier in the day because I consider this work. But I'm so happy to be back. I know you guys missed us. Some of you left comments throughout the week on old videos that I went into and I responded. Appreciate you all for sticking with us. Pumped to be back. We'll be back now until next May. I don't know. There's no other breaks on schedule, really. So we're here for you 5 days a week. Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, Justin. We didn't miss too much, you know, while we were gone for a week, and it's like the middle of May. How much could possibly be going on? The only things I feel like we really missed are the Titans schedule came out, which is a big deal. We'll talk about today. The Titans released a pretty cool video of some veterans who came in, talked to the rookies, gave them advice about, how to be a pro and be successful and not fall into traps. Jeffrey Simmons went on CBS Sports with Logan Ryan and Ledger Doosable for like over an hour long sit down interview. He was actually really candid. It's pretty cool. He revealed some stuff that I definitely want to talk about at some point. Cam Ward was announced on Netflix's quarterback series for season 3. He'll be one of four guys that they followed throughout last season, which would be really cool. We'll definitely break that down when it comes out in July. Ramon Foster was hired to be the color analyst on Titans Radio alongside Taylor Zarzor after the unfortunate passing of former coach Dave McGinnis. Peter Skoronski is rumored. Jeremy Fowler wrote an article with the execs around the league talking about what's going to happen next offseason. And Peter Skoronski, there are a lot of execs who think he's going to get a market-setting extension contract at the guard position, sort of like Tyler Linderbaum's record-setting deal with the Raiders. So something to keep an eye on there. Oh, Javon Kearse, Terry McCormick reported Javon Kearse will be at Titans training camp to mentor Femi Oladejo. This week, NFL owners are expected to vote during league meetings. It's expected that it will pass that Nashville will be hosting the Super Bowl in 2030. And on Monday today, the Titans have begun phase 3 of the NFL's off-season program. They will have 10 organized team activity periods over the next 4 weeks. No live contact permitted during these time, but they are now finally allowed to run 7-on-7, 9-on-7, and 11-on-11 drills. So, just like a couple of news stories, nothing big.
I counted 9 things that we missed there, but in fairness, 2 of them we only would have brought up this morning, which was the Super Bowl, Nashville 2030, and then OTA. So we only missed 7 things. So not that bad. And we are going to go over the schedule today a little bit and talk about the hidden advantages, as you mentioned. Regarding the Super Bowl, foregone conclusion, right? Like that they were going to get as soon as they built this new stadium, and it's going to have it's going to be a dome, which has kind of become a prerequisite, it feels like, to hosting a Super Bowl. Matter of time that new stadium is going to get a Super Bowl. It'll be in its third season technically, right? Because I think it's 2029 season, but Super Bowl in 2030 because it's February 2030, right? So the stadium will be in its third season when it hosts, which makes sense, right? A couple years into it, no surprise. Nashville's going to rock the Super Bowl. It's going to be an unbelievable event.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. And really, there was stuff, all these little news stories I just mentioned have talking points that are worth spending more or less a full episode on. So we're going to push these down the line. I understand we'll be late to reacting to most of them. That's totally fine with me because it's the middle of May. Like I said, there's not a whole lot going on. If anything gets bumped for more timely news, then so be it. It gets bumped. We'll talk about it on the next episode. So today we're going back to the beginning with what I think was the biggest piece of news, which isn't even news. It's just an event. The NFL schedule is out. And the first thing I want to talk about before we get to the hidden advantages, because there are a number of hidden advantages, actually, on this Titans schedule, is the big talking point that everyone wants to go over. The Titans, for the second year in a row, do not have a primetime game. Cam Ward becomes the first number one overall pick quarterback in the last 40 years to go his first two seasons of NFL football without playing a primetime game. The previous one was Vinny Testaverde back in the 80s. A to Z Sports has reported on that or unearthed that and shared it with the world. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a bummer. It's disappointing, I think. But it also is just an unfortunate, harsh reality of rooting for a team like the Titans, who have been really bad and don't have market pull. I think, you know, the Giants got a bunch of primetime games. They've been bad. The Raiders didn't get any. They've been bad. There's definitely a difference between being good enough for primetime in a small market like the Chiefs or the Bills and being the Bills. I mean, a small market in terms of the region, but huge right. fan base, huge following. But anyway, good enough in a small market or bad, but in a big market, you still get a primetime game or two, yeah. right? So the Titans are neither. The Titans have been a really bad right. team in a really small market. And Cam Ward clearly has some marketability because Netflix decided we want to put this guy in our series, but not enough from the NFL standpoint to say that he'll draw an audience that Amazon is willing to pay for on a Thursday night, for example, or something like that. So it bothers me a tiny, tiny bit. But at the same time, Justin, for me and my job that I have to do on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays, it's actually a lot better for our show that the Titans play 14 right now of their 17 games at 12 o'clock noon on Sundays, because you and I are going to be able to do our live recap show without messing up the rest of my work schedule. So I'm actually kind of happy.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, like maybe it's because I'm accustomed to it, but by far my favorite Titans game is a Sunday 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central. Like I don't love when it's Monday night, Thursday night, or I hate the late window. I hate waiting till like the 4:30 to watch the Titans, and they had quite a few of those last year. I remember being surprised at how many they had last year. So I'm glad this year that, yeah, I remember it's a bunch of them. So I'm glad that this year it's a bunch of, you know, not a bunch of, it's almost all of them are 12 p.m. Central. I agree, like on the primetime game thing, it doesn't bother me as much as it used to. It's like, stop sucking, right? Like you can't win three games 2 years in a row and then complain about a lack of primetime games. And if you want to say, oh, but the Giants and the Cowboys, those are major markets. It is what it is. You can't change it. New York is New York. It might be the greatest city in the world, in all honesty, right? Like they're going to get primetime games. The Cowboys are the most popular, richest, expensive. Like, it is what it is. None of that bothers me. The Cowboys are the Cowboys. It's never bothered me. They are. Maybe it's because I view them as the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I kind of get it. Like, they're popular. Shut up. It is what it is. Too bad, right? Like, it's just too bad. You can't change it, right? So it's like, Titans, be good. And by the way, as the NFL mentioned, I'm not carrying water for them, but it's like, flex schedule is a thing. The Titans could get a primetime game if they're decent and Cam Ward is having fun and looking good and everyone's excited about what Cam Ward is doing. They'll absolutely flex the Titans into a primetime game. I think they'd like to do it because they know they haven't given them one in 2 years. All they right. just be, if you're 6-6, they might flex you into a primetime game. You know what I mean? Like, you just, as long as you're alive and competitive and Cam Ward's playing good ball, I think it could happen. Go out there and earn it.
Yeah, I think that's the key, right? Is that they don't have to be 10-1 or whatever to get a primetime game.
I agree.
They just have to be exciting. They have to be good enough to be exciting. And honestly, the best way to be exciting, and I don't want this to be the case, but the best way to be exciting is have a great offense and a terrible defense, because those make for great games. I mean,
as long as Cam Ward's playing good ball, right? I think they do it.
100%. And I'm also not expecting them to get flexed into primetime. Like, I don't think that they'd be the top choice to get flexed into primetime. But, you know, there's like, there are matchups late in the year. I think, like, I can't remember who's playing, but like the Ravens and the Bengals, I think, play on primetime late in the year. I'm not saying anything, but Lamar Jackson's gotten hurt a lot and Joe Burrow's gotten hurt a lot. And if that game comes up 2 weeks away and neither guy is expected to play, that probably gets bumped out of primetime. So Titans just have to be good enough to get bumped in, and we'll see if they do. But at the end of the day, I'm not stressing about it. I think it makes sense. Like, I don't think it's fair, especially for Titans fans, but I think it makes sense. And I understand, again, just the harsh reality of rooting for a team that has been really bad in a tiny market. But Justin, this is a perfect segue into our first hidden advantage on the Titans schedule, which is that because they don't have any primetime games and because they play right now, they have 14 out of 17 games being played at 12 o'clock noon Central Time on Sundays, two games slated for the late afternoon window right now, and one TBD. So that TBD, you know, the last week of the season, if Texans Titans is for the South and all the other divisions are wrapped up, that's a potential Sunday Night Football flex spot. We saw that happen. What year was it? Like 2018, 2017 when
something
they played
like
the Colts
that.
For, yeah. But, and Matt Castle had to start that game, I believe. Was it Matt Castle? I think it was Matt Castle. Right? Yes, it was.
Dan
Brown picked six.
No, Luck. Wasn't it that dude who, it's going to drive me crazy. He thought he was so, Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, you're right. Matt Castle was way before. Yeah, it was Blaine Gabbert. Good call, Justin. Keeping me on track there. Anyway, the hidden advantage is that for a coach in his first season with a new team, with an all-new coaching staff and a ton of new players, getting into a routine is nice. And not having to change that routine at any point in the season. Think about the international games, teams that have to travel internationally. That's a whole week where your entire routine
Australia
is disrupted.
It's crazy.
A Thursday night game, a Wednesday night game, which there are two of on the NFL schedule this year, which is crazy to me. A Wednesday night game, a Thursday night game, a Monday night game. All these games, all these primetime games, even Sunday night, disrupts your routine in a way that's like, we're used to playing at 12 on Sunday. We got a couple 3 o'clock kickoffs on Sunday. A Sunday night game, it's like, do we wake up at the same time or should I sleep in three more hours so that my body thinks I'm on the same clock? Like, you don't even have to think about a single thing. You just do the same routine every week. Hopefully that routine's working, but I think for a first-year head coach, with this team, obviously, taking one more thing that you might have to worry about off of the plate so you can just focus on coaching the football team is a good thing, in my opinion, and it should help the Titans. Not that it's like a huge disadvantage to have primetime games, but it does. I mean, it's nice to think about the fact that they won't have to disrupt their routine at any point this season.
I do think there's something to that, right? Like, they're most used to playing those, you know, 12 p.m. Central Standard Time games, and having 14 of them this year, you could definitely get into routine. It's going to be a change for Robert Saleh, who was on the West Coast last year, right, in San Francisco. But obviously, having been head coach of the New York Jets, he's, you know, pretty used to the time zone, right, give or take, right? But other than that, no, I'm with you. I think 14 games, 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 p.m. Central, good to get into that habit and routine. And a lot of teams won't have that luxury. You'll be playing a lot of teams who are coming off primetime games or whatever, or coming off a 4 p.m. window game, whatever it is. I think the Titans are, you know, going to benefit from having that consistency.
Yeah, I totally agree. So that's a minor advantage, I think. And A to Z Sports, again, wrote an article outlining that one. And shout out to them for bringing it to my attention because I wouldn't have thought of it. But I will give credit where credit is due. I do think it's an advantage. Another advantage that has been reported on more often is the rest differential, the net rest. How much rest do the Titans' opponents have coming in to play them versus how rested are the Titans going up against their opponents? Now, the data on this is kind of skewed. Like, it's kind of hard to gauge how much rest really matters. The NFL's some spokesperson on some schedule maker, somebody, I should know better who this was, but I frankly don't care that much, came out and said that they don't believe that rest differential affects games in at all. There's zero impact by on the net rest stuff. I think that that's probably a little far-fetched. I don't know how impactful it is, but I definitely think having an extra day or two to get your body more healthy than your opponent has is something that can definitely help at certain points throughout the season. The Titans have a positive net rest differential. It really is only impacted three times. There's three games where they have a better rest differential than their opponent. This is because, number one, the Titans do not play a team coming off their bye at any point this season. Titans have no opponents who the week they play the Titans were on bye the previous week. That's nice. You don't have to worry about getting a team rested or with an extra week to prepare for you at any point in the season. Again, another thing that Robert Saleh just doesn't have to think about in his first year as a Titans head coach. The three games where they have an advantage are against the New York Giants in week three. The Giants play on Monday Night Football in week two, so the Titans will have one extra day there. Against the Houston Texans in week 18, depending on when that game is, the Texans play week 17 on Monday Night Football. Again, if the Titans are a lot better than many people expect them to be, and they're competing for the division in that final week of the season, that could be a huge deal. I think the more likely outcome is it doesn't matter at all. But they get one extra day over Houston for week 18. And the last one is they play the Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe it's week 10. They play the Jaguars coming off. The Jags play a Thursday night game the week before they play the Titans. So the Jags have a few extra days of rest because they have a mini bye. But the Titans play the Jags off their own bye. So the Titans actually have three more days of rest there than the Jags do, because while the Jags get the mini bye, the Titans have a real bye. So the Titans have a rest advantage there. Although Jacksonville will be more rested than a typical team that you would play off your bye, they won't be as rested as the Titans. So that net rest differential, again, it only impacts three games, but there are zero negative impacts. There are zero games where the Titans are at a disadvantage, and there are three games where they have either a minor or a little bit more than minor advantage over their opponent.
The fact that they never play a primetime game obviously helps, right? Because they're never on the Monday, so they're never a day short there. And then I didn't know that fact. Really cool and interesting that they don't play any team coming off their own bye. That's pretty wild. Like, that's shocking that, you know, coincidental, I imagine, but that works out that way. Right. It's the Texans, by the way, I think are even, they got a plus +8 if I looked at that chart, if I remember the chart correctly. The Texans are even, they got the biggest advantage in the AFC South. They're plus That's 8 correct. Near the top. Titans at, what do they call it, plus 5.5, I think they call it, or something like that. Damn Texans at plus +8. But definitely that's another, I would definitely call that a hidden advantage, because I don't believe, you talk about the schedule, got one of the guys who works in the schedule making office who said that. Very political answer that we don't think it has any impact. How else do you describe, I think every Thursday game, not every Thursday game, but you know where I'm going, right? Like, they tend to kind of suck. Like, the quality always feels lower on Thursday night football. And the only explanation for that is both teams are coming off Sunday games. They're on 3 days rest. They've had walkthroughs instead of regular practices. Guys are banged up. Guys missed more Thursday games than Sunday games because they've had less rest. Like, there's no way that it has zero impact, because the product, the quality is clearly impacted on Thursday night football. So for me, this is a nice hidden advantage for the Titans.
Yeah, totally. I think it's one of those things that, like, it's better to have than not have, even if you think it doesn't have that big of an impact. And I think it's more notable that they don't have any rest disadvantage than it is that they have those minor random advantages. One other thing about this part of the talk, the 5.5 you mentioned. So that's because the half day is when there is a TBD assigned to a game, and we don't know if it's going to be a Saturday or a Sunday game. The thing is, the fact that the Texans play week 17 on Monday Night Football, the last Monday Night Football game of the year, makes it extremely unlikely that Texans-Titans week 18 will get flexed to, or will get scheduled for that last Saturday.
Right.
Because the Texans are already one day short on rest. That would be pretty crazy if the NFL said, we're going to make it 2 days short and make you have to play again on Saturday versus letting them play on Sunday. And again, if that game's for the division, decent chance it gets flexed into Sunday Night Football. Justin, there's one third hidden advantage here that I have to bring up. We're going to get to it right after this break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Welcome back, everyone. Okay, Justin, the third hidden advantage that the schedule makers gave the Titans is in the miles traveled department. So we've known miles traveled for a while. This got shared, by the way, on social media. It's been talked about fairly frequently, but we're going to hit it here as a hidden advantage. The Titans will travel the 18th most miles this season. They don't have an international game, so they're a bit lower down the list. They don't play all the West Coast teams like they had to play last season, so they don't have to travel quite as much. for that. From that standpoint, 15th fewest miles traveled, 18th most miles traveled. So it's not like a massive advantage. It's not like the Colts who have the 22nd most miles traveled this year, but it's a lot better than the Jags, who have the 8th most miles traveled. It's better than the Texans, who have the third most miles this year, and more than any other team that isn't playing in Australia, because the top two teams in miles traveled are the 49ers and the Rams, who have to open the season in Australia. So of course they're going to travel more miles than everybody else, because Australia is a million miles away. So the Texans, third most miles traveled, the Jaguars, 8th most miles traveled, Titans, 18th most. Again, one of those things, it's not like a huge deal, but that you'd rather be lower on the list than have to worry about being higher on the list.
Yeah, I mean, you don't play, like last year they played in Arizona, I think, right? Like for the Cardinals, I think they played in San Francisco, right, near the end of the year. So I think the Seattle game was in Tennessee. I'm trying to think the NFC, but the Seattle game was definitely in Tennessee. And
the Rams game was too, right?
In Tennessee, yes, exactly. So I got it right. Arizona and San Fran were on the road. Obviously, those West Coast teams. Oh, who's the furthest they travel this year? Probably the Raiders, because I think they're in Vegas, and that's much later in the year. They're not at the Chargers. There's not a whole lot. They're not at Denver again. Like they were at Denver last year, week one. So definitely helps, right? The Raiders, I imagine, is the furthest away game that they have this season. Playing the NFC East, right? Like, it's nice. None of those teams are super far by any stretch of the imagination. So a lot of benefits on the Titans schedule this year. That miles traveled, when you combine that with the, you know, 6 rest days, I'll call it, and the no primetime games, no one off the bye week, I think these 3 advantages kind of, you know, combine to make up a pretty nice scheduling advantage for the Titans heading into 2026.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, you know, aside from not getting a primetime game, which we're currently viewing as an advantage, the schedule makers did the Titans pretty well. I mean, they gave them a pretty nice schedule. Let's talk about the bye week. This maybe is a 4th advantage we could talk about. The bye week is week 9, which couldn't get more dead middle of the season. You got 8 games before the bye. You got 9 games after the bye. It's about as middle as it gets. For a young team, Titans, by the way, very young team. I think they have like the 3rd lowest average age on the roster, at least for starters or something. I can't remember the exact stat. They're a very young team. We know this. With a first-year head coach and a lot of guys that we're not sure who's going to be starting at, you know, the guard position, the center position, maybe the linebacker position, maybe a safety. Like, we don't know exactly nickelback. Like, there's a lot of maybe starting spots up for grabs. It's maybe the one time when you're not exactly viewing yourself as a Super Bowl contender and you don't necessarily need to, like, recharge late in the season. This would have been maybe the year I would have been happier with an early bye, like a week 5, week 6 even bye, just to give everybody a chance to sort of catch their breath after the opening of the season. But I'll take a week 9 bye. You'll never hear me complain about a week 9 bye. Again, about as middle of the road as it gets. So that's a nice little advantage the Titans have as well, is that they don't need to play 13 weeks or whatever before they get their bye, like some teams who do have a week 14 bye. Titans, not one of those teams.
Yeah, I think for me, if I was choosing the Titans bye week every year, I know, you know, there's a lot that goes into it, and you probably get different answers if you pull different teams. But I think smack down the middle is pretty good, right? Like, I don't think you want it too early. I don't think, you know, you want to hit a rhythm early on. You don't want it too late either. You want some guys need to get healthy. Like, when you, that week 14 bye, that's brutal. You know, 13 straight weeks of games. And for a lot of those teams, not the Titans, primetime games, so there's short weeks involved in that. Like, I think smack down the middle is perfect, especially when you add in the fact you're never going to be on a short week, right? So I don't think the Titans can complain about the bye week at all. I think that's great for them.
Yeah, totally agree. And I also don't think that they can really complain about the home road splits. They don't have like a 3 or 4 game road trip. They don't have to play. Remember last season, I think it was, what was it, October? They didn't leave Tennessee for the whole month. They had their bye week in there, and they were, every other game was at home, which is cool, but also really weird, because you got to make up those road games at some point.
Right.
The Titans this season, with a 17-game schedule, you know, you alternate having more away games versus more home games every year. Titans have 9 road games this year and 8 home games. So the fact that they only have, you know, a back-to-back away road trip twice is nice. They open the season with 2 games in a row at home. That's a great way for Robert Saleh to sort of ease into being the head coach of this team. Then they're on the road for the next 2 weeks. And then they alternate home, away, home, away, bye, home, away, away. Weeks 11 and 12, they're back-to-back on the road. One of those in Dallas. You better believe I'm trying to go to that game. I have to talk to Dan and Mark and make sure that Sunday will still be able to go off smoothly if I go to a a game, but luckily it's 12 o'clock kickoff, so I'll have time to get home before that. And then the following week, they are on the road again, but this, against Jacksonville, is one of their two late window kickoffs, 3:05 p.m. Central Time. So even the two back-to-back games, they get a little extra time being on the road there to, you know, acclimate to their surroundings in Jacksonville, which is East Coast, so it's like getting another hour. And then they're home, away, home, away, home, away for the rest of the season. It's kind of nice that they don't really have to go on any extended road trips, and that they don't have to, they get two in a row at home to start the season, but they don't have to like play a bunch of games in a row at home, which I think, you know, can be nice in the moment. But then when that's over, it's kind of like a slap in the face. Reality strikes. You're like, oh, you got to get, you know, back into the rhythm of traveling again. They don't have to worry about that. They just alternate for most of the year. I think that that is about as ideal as you could ask for.
Yeah, I agree. And if you don't mind, I want to talk about that week one game, because we haven't talked about it at all. To start the year at home, like you said, is great for Robert Saleh to have the first two games at home. But how about starting against the New York Jets? Like, if the schedule makers, you think they weren't paying attention to the Titans by giving them no primetime games, they paid some attention. Because to put the Jets in week one, Robert Saleh's old team, I tried to write an article where I tried to round off every name that this is a revenge game opportunity for. And I had a hard time. Because, I mean, on the Titans coaching staff, you've got Robert Saleh. You've got, okay, you know, Aaron Whitecotton, Tanzel Smart. I don't think I missed anyone on the coaching staff. Marquand Manuel, one of the DB coaches. I think that covers the entire staff. Oh, sorry, Tony Oden. Not hired this year, was here last year, but he used to coach for the Jets under Robert Saleh. That's probably why Saleh kept him around this year. I think that covers it on the coaching staff. But then for Titans players, I mean, good luck. John Franklin Myers. Good luck not missing one, I mean. John Franklin Myers. Jermaine Johnson, Jordan Elliott. Sorry, not Jordan Elliott, Solomon Thomas. I confused the two multiple times. Solomon Thomas, Tony Adams. That might be it on D lineman and then the safety. And then for the Jets, obviously, Jarvis Brownlee Jr., who immediately, you know, started running his mouth in quite the braggadocious way, kind of showing off why the Titans probably got rid of him, in all honesty.
I thought the same thing.
Not the kind of guy that they like having around. And then also, of course, Tavondre Sweat, who Jeffrey Simmons talked about in that CBS interview. And I wrote an article. Sorry, I didn't write it. I had one of my writers write an article on for Titan Size that did really, really well for us. And I'm sorry, but I gave it a great headline. Like, I don't remember what exactly, but Jeffrey Simmons, while praising Tavondre Sweat, I thought he also revealed why they traded him. The amount of times he said potential and trying to pull that out of him, and he needs to want to be great. But yeah, that's why they don't like him. That's why they didn't like him, just flat out, right? But anyway, he said something too, I think, on social media. Or it was like an emoji reaction. The revenge game storylines for that Titans-Jets week one is truly, truly unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, that, and I wish I had been more, I wish I had put this more on my chest, but or said it with my chest more. But this was my thought all along, is that the Titans would open the year at New York. I did get it on the record in the form of a tweet reply to Easton Freeze, who was speculating that the Titans Giants would make a great week one game. And I sort of said, because he named all the guys that were previously with the Giants, and I said the Titans Jets version of this would be better, in my opinion. I think that's the one that they're earmarking for week one. And what do you know? They do it. And New York, the Jets, have a history of getting revenge games scheduled for them in week one. For example, Aaron Rodgers' first game as a Steeler was against the Jets, who he had just finished playing for. So no surprise there. The Titans have a lot of revenge games on the schedule, actually. Because 2 weeks later, they play the Giants, and we know all the Giants connections. It's almost as extensive as the Jets connections, from Wandale Robinson, Daniel Bellinger, the Austin Schlotman, and Carmen Brasillo, Brian Daboll, Shea Tierney. How many other guys?
Greg Cordell Flott. Did you mention Cordell Flott?
I didn't mention Cordell Flott. And Marquand Manuel, who was, you know, mentioned, played with, coached the Jets under Saleh last year, was coaching the Giants under Daboll. So he's got two revenge games in the first 3 weeks for himself. Tons of revenge storylines there. Next week, they play Baltimore. Wide receivers coach Greg Lewis, most recently with the Baltimore Ravens. Then they play later in the year.
You mentioned Greg Lewis in that game and just gloss over Derrick Henry playing for against the Titans for the first time in his career. I know we're talking from a Titans angle, but that's hilarious to me that we mentioned Greg Lewis before Derrick Henry. He's never played against Titans before.
I didn't catch that he'd never played. I didn't realize that the Titans haven't played the Ravens since Henry left. Interesting. Yeah. So there you go. First game.
That's not a revenge game, obviously. I think Derrick Henry looks back on his time with the Titans incredibly fondly. I wish that game was in Nashville because the homecoming for him would have been so great. It loses a lot of the oomph that the game is in Baltimore. And honestly, who's he going to go up on the Titans sideline and say, "Good to see you. It's been a while." Who's still
Jeffrey
here?
Simmons.
Jeffrey Simmons.
100% Jeffrey Simmons.
Amy Adams Strunk might go to that game, to be honest, for that reason. I'm serious. Yeah. But like, Mike Borgonzi is not the guy who decided not to re-sign him. It was right. It was like a, it was a Ryan Carthon thing and Brian Callahan thing. So like, there's really not like Amani Hooker, obviously.
Yeah. Is there even a coach?
The list is probably really short.
I don't even know if there's a coach left. Like
Randy Jordan is still the running backs coach. I think Randy Jordan must. No, maybe not.
Wasn't he a Brian Callahan hire? And
I think
what about
you're right.
Luke Stalker?
I think he might have been a Brian Callahan guy.
Was Stalker a Callahan hire?
He must have
Stalker
played with Luke Stalker, though.
Yeah,
Stalker
that's true.
Was playing, so Stalker right. for
he definitely
sure.
Did. Yeah.
Stalker for sure. Jeffrey Simmons, Amani Hooker. I'm sure there are others, but not like very few. Who? Morgan Cox? Like I'm literally going to the long slapper. The long snapper here, because like I who's here? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. Going down the line, they play Dallas, week 11. I already mentioned Aaron Whitecotton recently with
Tony
the
Pollard.
Dallas Cowboys. And so there's a few revenge games on the schedule. Obviously, you got divisional games. You got the intrigue in some of these matchups, playing Jackson Dart against in New York, playing against potentially Shedeur Sanders or maybe Deshaun Watson when they host the Cleveland Browns. And Washington, Jaden Daniels, cool storyline, two young guys. If Fernando Mendoza gets in the lineup for the Raiders by week 16, then you'd get last year's number one overall pick against this year's number one overall pick. Tons of cool storylines. The best one of all, though, Justin, might be the final game at this version of Nissan Stadium, week 17, hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers, the old AFC Central rivalry. Tons of history between the Titans and the Steelers. And that will be the final game at Nissan Stadium before new Nissan Stadium opens.
Robert
Saleh,
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, good point. That's a nice storyline for that game as well. And so it's a good schedule. Excited to see how it plays out. I tweeted this as a joke, and a lot of people instantly knew it was a joke. It'd be pretty silly if you didn't know this was a joke instantly. But my very advanced analytical formula predicting how the Titans would do this season had them spit out 17-0.
I love it. Undefeated.
Can't argue with the math there.
Can't argue with the math. Flirting, although we're not very good at math, but you can't argue with the math. Flirting with the Tom Brady New England Patriots from a couple years ago. I would settle for 17, like the first loss in the Super Bowl, as crushing as that would be, far way away from 3-14 for a third straight year. So I would take it at this point. Excited about it. I really do think the Titans are going to be a lot better. I put out a game-by-game prediction on Titan-sized over the weekend. Maybe I was a little generous. I had them going 8-9. Wow. I think I was kind of teetering. I was thinking 7-10, but as I got to the game-by-game breakdown, I broke down. I mean, I gave like one sentence, two sentences per game because there's a lot of them, but I kind of one, two sentences about how I see each game going. And I even gave a score prediction for every game, which is probably a bit much, but I went with score prediction, sentence, record per game, 8-9. I mean, that's a lot better than 3-14. I would take it.
Yeah. So check that article out linked in the description of this show today. Justin, I mean, I think anything from 7-10 and up would be a successful season. I would even accept 6-11 as a sign of progress. Keep in mind, Robert Saleh as a head coach never did better than a 7-10 record in a season. He did that twice, but never won 8 games in a year. So if he goes 8-9, as you have predicted, that would be his best regular season as a head coach. I think the Titans have a chance to surprise people this year. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think they're even going to come close. I think there's plenty of roster deficiencies, but every team has roster deficiencies. And if you have a good quarterback and a decent defense, you can pretty much overcome a lot of other problems on your roster. And I hope that the Titans will have both of those things this season. And that's all I got. I would make my official prediction 7-10 if yours
Mine
is
too,
8-9.
To be honest with you, like I want to lean 7-10 is what I'm predicting for the year. Can't wait though. OTAs this week. Hope we get some good news out of that. We'll be covering it as per usual. That's going to do it for today's comeback episode of the Music City Audible podcast. We will be back tomorrow. We're not taking another break tomorrow to talk about, probably the Tennessee Titans is what I think we'll be talking about on Tuesday of this week. Until then.
As a matter of fact, folks, why don't you hop in the comments and have that crazy list of things I mentioned at the top of the show. Tell us which one you want us to talk about first. To refresh you, it was the video of the vets talking to the rookies, Jeffrey Simmons on CBS Sports, Cam Ward to be on Netflix's Quarterback Season 3, Ramon Foster, color analyst, Peter Skoronski, potential market-setting extension, Javon Kearse playing some mentor, Femi Oladejo, and the Super Bowl in Nashville 2030. Let us know which of those topics you want us to cover first, and unless we get some cool, juicy OTA nugs, we'll probably hit that tomorrow. Otherwise, it will be juicy OTA nugs tomorrow, and that topic on Wednesday. There you go. Justin, sign us up.
Until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.